call the conference committee to order. Members, we have, the House has had some discussion with the governor's office, and I believe there is someone here to talk to us about the position of the governor's office. If you'd come to the table, state your name for the record, and go ahead.
Laughing, someone's already written my name in here on the witness sign-in sheet. Someone had a lot of faith in my traffic navigation abilities this morning. Madam Chair, I am Bill Glahn, Deputy Commissioner of Commerce and Director of the Office of Energy Security.
All right. And so have you heard from the governor's office the position on the Section 3 of the bill?
I have. Madam Chair and members, I have a...
Cell phone?
No. Hang on. Madam Chair and members, I have discussed with the governor's office this bill, and I understand the governor's staff spoke with the governor directly about the bill. He went through the bill and had particular concerns about Section 3, and his concerns centered, he was familiar with the House debate and how it became, how it came to be on the bill, and his concerns centered around process, as I understand them. That you know, he views Section 3 as an election-related provision, and thought that it more properly belongs in an election-related bill. And having gone through the election committee and all the vetting that normally goes on with similar provisions, and so he was concerned to find it in a utilities-related bill, and that concern was strong enough that he felt that he would not be able to. sign the bill in its current form.
Questions from members. Representative Falk.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Glahn, being that you are, as you stated, the Deputy Director of Department of Commerce and the Director of the Office of Energy Security, can you give a qualified opinion in your mind that this issue deals specifically with what's reimbursed through rate cases, what's simply allowed to be assessed to ratepayers on a dollar-for-dollar payback? Can you give a qualified opinion as to whether or not that was legitimate within this bill, or if you felt that that is a broader issue dealing with elections, or if this is simply focused on what is allowed to be reimbursed, in your opinion?
Mr. Glahn.
Madam Chair, Representative Falk, since you asked for my opinion, I did not understand from the governor's office that the governor himself raise substantive concerns with Section 3, only process concerns. But at the risk of repeating my testimony from last week, my concern about the provision as it's written, from my own personal view, is that that practice today and other provisions of law today really make it all but impossible for a utility, a rate-regulated utility, to include election-related expenses in a rate case. I have not seen it done in my experience. And so reading the Section 3 language, I don't believe it adds anything to current law or current practice. I believe current law and current practice are sufficient to keep from happening what I believe is the intent of the bill, which is to make sure that ratepayers are not paying for the political partisan political activities of in Minnesota. That being said, my concern was that people would read beyond that and reach beyond that to go after political activities of company officers or unions or other related entities to the utility, and that would be an unfortunate result. So that's my opinion, and but I don't have a court cases I can point to or precedent I can point to, just my gut feeling.
Follow up, Representative Falk or Representative Anderson? Representative Falk.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do believe that I think the first sentence in the Section 3 was basically putting into a statute what is already operating practice. And we can have disagreements about process, but, I mean, I don't think that we're overreaching boundaries. Now, maybe the second sentence had some issues, and maybe that one we should have just eliminated to go and alleviate any confusion. But I really have strong disagreements that we're creating a whole new entity or creating a whole new process or putting something entirely new onto the books if it's been in a process that's been in place. And as you alluded to in your previous comments, I think the quote was, legislators don't legislate for no particular reason, or maybe I've mixed up how you stated it, but there is obviously a reason and concern that that's why this was brought forward.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Glahn, let me just follow up on your comments also. When we've had some interesting discussions with some of the utilities in the last few days as this issue has emerged, and have come to find that oftentimes when utilities engage in political information or education kinds of activities like voter registration of, I don't know if it's of their employees or of others, or forums, legislative forums that are not partisan but are informational, that those in practice have been things reimbursed by ratepayers. Do you believe that's appropriate?
Mr. Glahn.
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, without having the benefit of the conversations that you've had with utilities, I do recall a conversation I've had in recent days with a utility who put forward the following hypothetical, that they would, on their premises, host or allow employees to host a candidate forum. They would lend a conference room for or a meeting room for the event. They would not provide, say, coffee or refreshments, so there wouldn't be any direct expenditures on the event, but they would allow the use of their facilities, presumably facilities that would have otherwise been unoccupied during that interval of time. And so do you say ratepayer funds are going for that activity? Well, I don't know. I think a strict reading of that, I would say no, but it perhaps is a gray area where if somebody were to say, oh, well, there was a political purpose to the meeting, it was on your premises, so therefore somehow ratepayer funds were imputed to that. So that's kind of where I come from this. I think you did, Representative Falk did fairly characterize my comments. Legislators don't legislate for no reason. So reading into the language in here that it would end up in the end having a chilling effect on utilities in that they would shy away from what otherwise would look like innocuous, good government, good citizenship type activities like hosting candidate forums voter registration drives or whatever would appear on its surface to be nonpartisan, but still somehow election-related.
Well, Senator Anderson. Madam Chair, Mr. Glahn, I guess I'm still not clear what your answer is on if that's, if there is an actual expenditure, if there's some, if they buy some pizzas and their employees come, but it's not to promote one candidate or anything like that, if it's for education purposes or legislative updates or voter registration. If there is employee time spent or money spent, is it proper to have that be part of rate recovery?
Mr. Glahn.
Madam Chair, you start slicing these hypotheticals thinner and thinner, and I guess I could come up with one where I would say that's clearly improper. But it seems to me such de minimis costs to the ratepayer, a couple of pizzas, a box of donuts, and would likely have a negligible effect on the outcome of an election contest, that it just wouldn't rise to the level of something that you would ask regulators to devote a lot of time to. So, it's not just a question of is it right or wrong, but in the narrow confines of a one-year clock for doing a rate case, how much time do you devote toward these incidents where we're talking about, cost in the tens of dollars, not tens of millions of dollars.
Well, Madam Chair, Mr. Glahn, so I guess what you're saying is if it's a small amount of money, then it's insignificant. It's not so much whether it's partisan. I'm looking for some clarity. What guidelines should we be focused on? And I thought you were speaking for the governor here. I don't know if you are. You said that the governor's concern is about the process, that this is an election issue that should be discussed in committee, and that's fine. But if we were to discuss this in committee as an election issue, what guidelines should we be looking to protect ratepayers or to allow utilities flexibility? I mean, I'd like some guidance about what the administration's position is, because we may proceed to do something in committee. We may put some things into bills, and it would be helpful to have some guidance on that. What is okay? What is not okay for ratepayers to be paying for?
Mr. Glahn.
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, I guess where I'm coming from this is my narrow role as regulator. And as a regulator, what would I want my staff devoting their time to in a rate case for recovery? And again, back to the Citizens United case where this all arose, it was around, if I recall correctly, it was around a documentary, a movie that seemed to directly advocate the defeat of one of the candidates for president in the last election. And if it turned out that a rate-regulated utility had put in $300,000 towards the production cost of that film, I can tell you there is no way, there is zero chance that I at the department or the PUC would allow that for rate recovery. It's so far afield from the business of a utility delivering energy or other utility-related services to customers, so clearly afoul of what the language is in the section here about promoting or defeating a candidate, that it wouldn't be not a close call doesn't quite capture how out of bounds it is. But when you start funneling down to coffees where candidates appear in front of employees, you know, is it really, I'm taking it from the view, is it worth the time of regulators to go and find out how many coffees you can fit on the head of a pin when there's issues in rate cases that typically involve millions of dollars or tens of millions of dollars? So, you know, it's at the one level, there are questions of propriety, and the Citizens United example is way, way out of bounds. But, you know, I think you funnel it down, at some point it becomes de minimis and not worth the regulator's attention, which is an entirely different question for an elections committee, whether it's improper or proper. I'm, in this case, not speaking for the governor. I'm looking at it from the very narrow regulator perspective.
Senator Anderson.
Madam Chair, Mr. Glahn, I'm trying to get sort of a yes or a no out of everything you just said. So I guess what I'm taking from what you said is that you are supportive of the language in the bill as is, but not broader language, but not in this bill. Can you just say yes or no,
Mr. Glahn?
Madam Chair, the governor is not supportive of the language being in this bill, and the
I understand that.
And the presence of the language is jeopardizing the bill.
I understand. I appreciate that clarity.
As a matter of public policy, I would agree with Section 3, at least the first sentence, that sort of expense should not be recoverable from ratepayers.
Thank you.
Period.
Oh, sorry. That's okay. That's all right. Representative Abler.
Well, thanks. And just I think we've kind of drawn as much as we can from this, you know, gentleman. But I think the message is clear about Section 3, but just in the interim time, Representative Hillstrom and I shopped some of my colleagues, Representative Kiffmeyer, Severson, and Beard, and came up with a consensus that you might take forward for next year's work, and that was that sentence one, the whole thing was fine, and then there was a caveat that this would not, we had a sentence we came up that didn't affect, remember that sentence? But there were two sentences. The first sentence was actually fine, and then the second one I don't have with me, but it was something about it doesn't affect the people's individual abilities to do something. And so I think that on a policy basis, I think you're getting somewhere in the elections bill for future work, but at least on the merits of the matter, there's some agreement about that.
Well, Representative Abler,
does just
that help
so
you
make
know,
worse?
There is still election bills going on currently that take care of some of the Citizens United, so it might not be next session that you see some of these things bubbling up again.
But my point is I pushed them hard. I said, are you okay with these two sentences? And they the three of them, who I take as being some leaders from our side of the aisle on that topic, found that to be agreeable. So that's maybe give you some help.
That's correct. And Senator Anderson.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, and it was the language that was drafted by Matt Gehring that I believe we talked about prior, but I will make certain that you get a copy again.
All right.
Of the language we're talking about. Senator Anderson.
Thank you. Well, I guess I will, just to try to sum up where we're at here, I think what we have clarity on is that everybody likes Section 3 of the bill, or parts of it, or variations thereon, but not in this bill. And the governor would veto the bill if this is in it, but that if it's in a different bill, we'd have the support of the Office of Energy Security, and that's helpful.
Madam Chair, with all my usual caveats, I'll have to look at the language and the context in which it appears, et cetera, et cetera. So as much as I like to give yes and no answers, context is important, but I will leave with you this assurance. I'm generally fall on the side of being less precise in statute, because I believe it ties the hands of regulators and utilities. But I agree with the principle being expressed here. These sort of monies should not be recovered from ratepayers. Whether that's appropriate to put in a statute and where in the statute should it be is a different question.
Senator Anderson.
Madam Chair, thank you. Mr. Glenn, I guess I just have one more question. If we do not include Section 3 in this bill as we move it out of the conference committee, and just have it be Sections 1 and 2, which we've already adopted as a conference committee, can we have an assurance that that bill without Section 3 will be signed by the governor?
Mr. Glenn.
Madam Chair, removing Section 3 greatly improves the odds of it being signed by the governor. But as Senator Dibble pointed out at the last hearing meeting, I still have concerns with the other sections. Actually, I guess it's just Section 2. concerns with Section 2 about the level of data and the usefulness of the data. And I've expressed those concerns in front of the policy committees, and I guess I'll leave it at that.
Care to share what those numerical odds would be?
Madam Chair, Senator Anderson, I'm not really good at coming up with numerical odds. I still have concerns, but again, I have very narrow regulatory view of things, and the governor takes a broader view of issues when he has bills in front of him.
Senator Dibble.
Well, thanks, Madam Chair and Senator Anderson. I think it would be interesting if the governor were to veto this bill and send a signal, particularly in the aftermath of all of the public attention that's been paid to the kind of travel that utilities submitted for direct rate recovery in the last rate case, in this period of time in which people are foregoing their family vacations because they can't afford them. So the caveat and qualifications are interesting.
Senator Anderson.
Madam Chair, I guess what I would recommend, and I guess I'll put it in the form of a motion if I may, is that the conference, thank you, is that the conference committee adopt the recommendations that were previously approved, sections 1 and 2, and adopt that as our conference committee report.
Questions from members? Representative Falk.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do see that we have a few representatives of our utility friends here. I was wondering if any of them would be willing to come up and put a comment on the record regarding Section 3, whether or not they are in favor or opposed to it, because we have not heard directly from utilities on this, or they have failed to comment on it.
Well, I will open it up to anyone in the room. If there's anyone in the audience who would like to testify to Section 3 or to Section 1 or 2, now would be the time to speak up. Seeing no one, Representative Falk.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like the record to reflect that nobody has come forward, and I would have liked to have had some clarity, because if this has become so confrontatious that if the utilities ultimately were not opposed to it, I don't understand why the governor's insistence upon vetoing the bill upon this one common sense section. So those are my comments.
All right. To Senator Anderson's motion to include sections 1 and 2 in the conference committee report. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. Members, we're adjourned.
Well done. Look at that.
Well done.